City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And hi, how are you? Happy Monday. Isn't it great for summer Monday of the year? And we're gathered around together on this 25th day of June, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And as I was saying, I'm starting to do that to start the show every day. We just pick up where we left off on the previous show, more and more, because immigration is it's not going away. This is a big story. I don't know if you think it will go away by November. If you go back, I don't know what period it was, a month or two ago, the what people cared about. Immigration was near the bottom. Near the bottom. And now it is at the top. The ones that are always near or at the top are jobs, the economy, things like that. Yes, people still vote their pocketbook, and they're very concerned about their money, and so they want to know about all of that and how that goes, and jobs. I think it's still an issue, because even though unemployment is at these almost record lows, or record lows, however when you measure it, still people are always looking for an improvement in the job market and better jobs and a chance to maybe move up in your career, your occupation, whatever it might be. So immigration has gone literally from last to first in a number of polls. And I do believe that President Trump, because he's been talking about this for a long time, long before he was president, when he was Donald and he was on talk shows and he would be talking about immigration, it's been a big deal to him for a long time. And I know, oh my gosh, my former colleague, Lou Dobbs. Lou is not a come to this topic lately guy. He's been harping about immigration problems for a decade at least, if not longer. And I think President Trump is one of those guys that's also been harping about immigration for a long, long time, and nothing's been done. Not a thing has been done. I'll tell you the exact date was. I remember a good friend of mine who is a former congressman, Dan Lundgren. He represented California, and I remember talking to him about the fact that they had this immigration bill all ready to go. And that was in like August. And I'll tell you what year it was, 2001. And he told me, he was on the show, and he said, oh yeah, we got this immigration thing, and a bunch of it has been working behind the scenes, and it looks like when we get back to Washington after the summer break, we're going to present this to the president, and we're going to have this big immigration bill. And they got back to Washington about the same time that 9/11 happened. So it's been 2001. We're coming up on 17 years in which they've been trying, at least I know 17 years, trying to figure out a way to solve immigration issues. Then, by looking at the polling showing that immigration has gone from last to first, it ties in with where we are in our country right now. We have a populist president, and we have a populist movement, and the old staid Republican and Democrat parties are still looking old and staid, and so a lot of people are jumping on the populism of these topics, and that's why immigration is not only so big and number one, but it's also an emotional argument. We have a lot to go over today. So when I left you on Friday, I got into, I don't want to call it an argument, but I had a caller named Ed. Forget where he, Florida, I think. But he was saying, why don't we just deport them? Why doesn't the president just deport these people? And I said, Ed, he can't. He's the president of the United States doesn't have as much authority as you might think. And I had to remind the audience then, I'll do it now, remember Barack Obama was getting out his pen and his phone and doing all that sort of stuff and doing executive orders, and the courts were slapping him down, going, you don't have the authority. And the authority rests with the lawmakers, which is Congress. And, of course, on Friday, they had punted again on an immigration bill. And after the show, they punted again until sometime this week. I don't know when that's going to happen. But I'm not holding my breath waiting for Congress. But they're the ones who, if anybody's going to change the immigration law, whether that's giving the president more power or taking away some power or whatever it might be, it's Congress who does that. So I didn't know. I thought, oh, look at this. So the big headline yesterday, a series of tweets came out from the president. And sure enough, man, you guys are right on board with the president as far as you're thinking about this immigration stuff. Because he said on Sunday that people who enter the United States illegally should be sent back immediately to where they came from without any judicial process. He has likened them to invaders who are trying to break into our country. And, of course, the legal community came out of their shoes and said exactly what I was telling Ed on Friday. And I got some tweets on Friday, too, about it. Just put them on a bus and throw them out of here. Well, everybody in the United States, citizen or non-citizen, doesn't matter if you've been here an hour or you've been here for your whole life, the Constitution covers everybody whose little toe is on the soil of the United States. So you get protections. And the protection is that we don't have a police state. And we don't have a king. So we have this thing called government and process. And we got into a big deal about process on Friday. But now the president is right there with Ed and right there with some of the tweets that I got saying, throw them out. They don't have to go to a judge. They don't have to go to any of that stuff. Just throw them out. And I'm thinking, I don't want any laws enforced on me simply because some politician says, you know, go after Sullivan. And I'd like my day in court if I'm being accused of something that I did not do. Or even if I did it, I want to have a day in court in order to explain to a judge and everything else. Have my day in court. So I find this all fascinating. Some people are saying, oh, this is dangerous. This is the worst time in our country, and we're so divided and everything else. Nah, I don't think so. I think we've had worse. We had a civil war. That was the worst. But I was fully aware of what was going on in the 1960s. We shot and killed our president. We shot and killed Martin Luther King. We shot and killed Bobby Kennedy. We shot George Wallace. I mean, it was the riots in the streets, civil rights riots, anti-war riots, burning down buildings. So I look at this, and forgive me if I kind of, I'm not just shrugging my shoulders. This is all very important. But forgive me if I don't jump on the train of, this is the most divisive time in our nation. I don't think so. Yes, we're arguing. Yes, we see things differently. So what's the president up to? Why is he doing this? Does he not know the Constitution that he swore he would uphold? Or he knows it and he's trying to get a movement building to try and get the Constitution changed? But that is a long road. This was the president at the White House just a little while ago. King of Jordan's in town, and the president was in the Oval Office, and the media was there, and he says, nope, I do not regret at all signing the executive order to keep families together.
The executive order was great. It was something that I felt we had to do. We want children staying together. The law has been this law for a long period of time. You would understand this better than most because of the great job you do in your country. No, it was there was a false story, fake news in the New York Times, just the opposite. I wanted to sign that. In fact, I was saying yesterday before I read this phony story in the New York Times that that I was very, very happy that I signed that. And it also, it shows, you know, we're all talking about humanity, whether it's what you're doing in Jordan or whether it's what we're doing here. The laws are obsolete. The laws are horrible having to do with the border, both in terms of security and in terms of taking care of people. President Obama had a big problem. In fact, a lot of the pictures used, they thought would be, I guess, I don't know what you folks did. You used pictures from 2014. They were all taken during the Obama administration. But the Bush administration had the same. It's the same laws. They're a disaster. The laws have to be changed. And whether it's North Korea or whether it's so many different things like trade, we're taking care of a lot of problems that should have been taken care of over the years. Well, one of the highest on the list is immigration, and we have to change our laws. We have to make them sensible. They came in to see me last week. They said, we'd like to hire 5,000 more judges. 5,000. You ever hear of a thing like that? Judges. Well, we're appointing 145 judges here, and everyone goes through this extreme vetting process. We're talking about 5,000. Where do you find 5,000 people to be judges? And you know what it leads? It leads to graft. It leads to a lot of other things. We want a system where when people come in illegally, they have to go out. And a nice, simple system that works. You know, Mexico holds people for 4 hours, for 5 hours, for 2 hours, and they're gone. We have people for 4, 5, 6 years, and they never leave. So we want to have a great immigration. What we have is very simple. We want strong borders, and we want no crime. Strong borders, we want no crime. The Democrats want open borders, and they don't care about crime. And they don't care about our military. I care about our military. That's what we want, and that's what we're going to get. And we're going to get it sooner than people think.
All right. So that's the president says we need to change the laws. Okay. I'm all for that. You want to change the laws. It's called the Constitution, and there is a process, and I'll explain it to you when we come back. What do you think about changing the laws? 855-295-6600. That's 855-295-6600. You can find the numbers on TomSullivan.com.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So you want to change the laws. President says we need to change the laws. All right. The laws, though, I think if you get into it, you may get into having to change the Constitution. I got, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Tomas Santana says, as a Mexican-American myself, it's kind of dumb not to be able to immediately deport someone who illegally enters America. Asylum is one thing. Legal entry is another. They cannot be allowed to stay if they want to contest deportation. So, I'm learning along with the rest of you. I'm going to get a law degree out of this thing by the time I'm done. Something called expedited removal. And expedited removal is within our laws. And what it allows for is for exactly what you folks are asking for. You're frustrated with the fact that we can't seem to seal our border. But expedited removal, it was 2004, Department of Homeland Security published the notice that if somebody is encountered within 100 miles of our border, it doesn't matter. Mexico, Canada, the oceans, the Gulf, doesn't matter. 100 miles within the border, and who entered the U.S. without inspection less than 14 days before the time they are encountered, then If you're, and the exception is if you're from Mexico or Canada, these doesn't apply. But if you're from any other place in the history of the country, of the world, you will be immediately deported. Expedited removal. It, like I said, if you're from Mexico or Canada, this doesn't apply to you unless you are a Mexican or a Canadian that has a history of criminal or immigration violations, and we can expedite you across the border as well. So there is a process, but you've got to be within 100 miles, and you have to be caught within 2 weeks. And they can pick you up, put you on a bus, and send you back to wherever you came from. I hadn't heard about this. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Keenan in California. Keenan, hi, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
So I was just calling, listen to the comment that you had made earlier about people showing up and then just, you know, some of the other people that said tweets yesterday about let's just kick them out, you know, right. Just send them home. Right. And right. They've got constitutional protections, though. Once, like you said earlier, you step a toe across the line, now you're covered by the Constitution.
Right.
I've been a firm believer in the Constitution, and if that's the way the law is written, then by all means, we need to regard that. That being said, I find it a bit odd, I guess, because where I live, if I agree to rent one of my homes out to a renter as a rental property, and they come in and they move in, and we have an agreement, and they've come and we've gone through a system, you know, I've checked them out, all that kind of stuff. I said, okay, yeah, you can rent my house. Then I can't just show up one day and change the lock and kick them out. You have to go through an eviction process and everything
else.
Yeah. It's kind of the due process of law as regarding, you know, an eviction, because we've had an agreement, we came into this together. Now, if someone were to show up on my property today and set up a tent in my front yard, I do have the legal authority to walk out there and say, hey, get the hell off my property.
Right.
this is my property.
Right.
You don't have a right to be here.
Right.
So I guess what my parallel that I'm drawing there is that I understand the Constitution isn't written that way, but doesn't it seem reasonable that a constitutional amendment could address that specific scenario that says, hey, if you just show up here, you don't get these rights?
Yes, and that, I mean, the founders were smart enough to leave it so the Constitution could be amended, and it has been many, many times. But there is one little flaw in your argument. Your property is your private property, and you have private property rights. But the government can't stop you from talking badly about the government, doing all kinds of things, right? In the public sphere. That's the thing. On public land, on public property, you come into this country, the Constitution says you're on public land, part of the United States of America, not Keenan's private property. Yes, you have the right to throw somebody off your property, but they are protected by the Constitution. And I think your analogy is excellent, that there is a huge process to go through legally to get the renter out of your property. It's the same thing with these people coming into our country illegally.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So we're learning about the immigration laws. I understand your frustration. I understood Ed's frustration and some of those of you that are tweeting me about, you know, we need to boot these people out. Well, okay, but you also, as Keenan said, a defender of the Constitution. What's really become crystal clear to me is that the laws and the rules are so complicated about what you can do, what you can't do. Depends on where you're from. Are you from Mexico? Are you from Canada? If so, those are different rules. If you're from Cuba, there used to be separate rules for Cubans, but not anymore. They've changed that since Obama opened up relations with Cuba. Now that we don't have good relations again with Cuba, they haven't changed the rules back. So it depends upon where you come from, and if they catch you within 100 miles, and if they catch you within 2 weeks in 100 miles, then they can put you on a bus and send you back. Unless you say, Yeah, I'm here because I am afraid for my life. And then you get into, listen to this. I was reading about this expedited removal rule. So Customs and Border Protection comes in contact with a person that is within 100 miles and looked like they just crossed, so it's within the 2 weeks. The official must ask the person if they want to apply for asylum or do they fear persecution or torture if they are returned to their home country. So if you are a Border Patrol officer, you catch somebody red-handed 20 miles inside the United States, you can tell they just got here. You must first ask them, hey, do you want to apply for asylum or do you fear persecution or torture if we're sending you back? And the answer, if they say, yeah, that's it, that's the ticket, yes, then the Border Patrol officer must issue Form M-444, Information About Credible Fear Interview, and then you are referred to an interview with a immigration official. If you say, no, I am not applying for asylum and I'm not fearful of being sent back, then they're issued, I love the government, Form I-860, which is an order of expedited removal. So if you say no, I'm not afraid of going back, and no, I'm not applying for asylum, boom, you're on the next bus. They are sending you back to where you came from. All you got to do is when they say, are you afraid? Are you applying for asylum? Yes, I am. Okay. So this expedited removal looks like it is, this is where people have been coached and they've been told how, you know, they're going to ask you these questions. These are the answers to the test. The test is a one question test. Are you afraid? Yes or no. Are you seeking asylum? Yes or no. Two question test. That's all it comes down to. It's just that simple. So the rules are complex. The president wants to change the laws. The Constitution says it covers everybody. This is where we're into this. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you do. And I understand a lot of you are frustrated. I'm frustrated as well. I would like a secure border. I would like to know who's coming in and who's leaving. I would like to know where they are when they come in here, if they're not citizens. Other countries do it. Western Europe, they know where you are. They know when you came in. They know if you haven't left, and if you haven't, they'll come find you. They know where you are. So I understand the frustration, but we have a problem. Now the president has signed an order about basically not separating the families. But that doesn't fix the fact that in 20 days you must, under the agreement with the federal court, you must let the children go. You must send them either to a relative in the United States or to some agency that takes care of children in the United States. And that's essentially what they're doing, is setting up these places for the children. But in 20 days, you got to open the gates. You cannot keep them detained. But the parents are still locked up. So doesn't that mean that the parents then have to be also released in 20 days? And they won't have, there's no way they're going to have their court hearing within 20 days. So this whole thing is a farce. And that's why they're taking advantage of us. On Friday, I forget if it was a call or a tweet or someplace, but I was... I think the way to answer a lot of questions in life is follow the money. And I think there should be a massive economic crackdown on Mexico. They are facilitating this. they are. It's not a lot of Mexicans. Most of it is people from other countries coming through Mexico. Mexico facilitates it. They help them along the way. They teach them what to say when they get here. They certainly don't slow them down at the border. There's no stopping them there. I don't know why we are not cracking down on Mexico. President's all fired up about trade imbalances. Great, we got a trade imbalance with Mexico, but we have a human imbalance with Mexico. I would be right there with the president if he wants to do it, and he can do it. You don't have to change the Constitution. You don't have to do anything. The president can declare economic tariffs on Mexico and bend them like, well, we did that with North Korea. We're doing it with Iran, and apparently it really hurt them. So why don't we do it with Mexico? I think there's a solution there somewhere, because everybody's looking for a solution. 855-295-6600. Steve in Carson City. Stephen, hi. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. I believe that there's a simple solution along the lines of what you're saying. We simply stop giving them all this aid money every year, and we just discontinue it until they stop them in Mexico.
I saw a chart the other day of trade imbalances, and our biggest trade imbalance with Mexico is automobiles. We send them a couple hundred thousand cars from made in the U.S. down to Mexico. They send us over 2 million cars made in Mexico to be sold here in the United States. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Yep.
Just say no more cars from Mexico. Zero. See what happens.
Well, I believe if we just stop giving them all this money, they'll get the message real quick.
Well, one of the things that we do with them is we buy a lot of their oil. Canada and Mexico are our top importers. So but right now is a better time. If you want to flex your muscle, we have better oil production in this country now than we ever have in the history of our nation. So now would be the time. I think instead of trying to change the laws, I think just flex the economic muscle. And I don't know why the president hasn't come up with that yet. He's talking about changing laws. Changing laws, you know that. Do you think Congress is going to change anything, Stephen?
No. Congress is not going to do a thing. This bill that they've got, it's not going to pass.
Nope.
It's just a dead end like everything else they do.
Yep. They're dysfunctional, totally dysfunctional. So the president has the authority on tariffs. I think that's where we should go. But anyway, I appreciate your call very much. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can also find the numbers at TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
By the way, Becky from Boston, who's an immigration lawyer who called last week, she sent me an email about she's very good about making sure I'm clarifying everything. I said the judicial branch handles deportation orders. She said, "Well, it's complicated because federal judges have jurisdiction over criminal prosecutions related to immigration. But the actual process of deciding deportation orders comes from an administrative matter under the DOJ. So the DOJ issues the deportation orders. But it's not as simple as flipping a switch. I think an economic attack on Mexico would be the way to go. If you really want to stop this, 855-295-6600. Tim in California. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Going good. What do you got?
I heard you say something earlier about catching people, you know, they come 20 miles once they cross the border, and you ask them if they want paperwork. if people are seeking asylum and they want help, wouldn't they be going straight to an official office saying,
yes,
you know, I'm in fear and I need help?
Yes.
They shouldn't be getting caught.
In fact, the rule is if you want to apply for asylum, you can't climb over the fence. You have to go to one of the 24 ports of entry and say, I'm here to apply for asylum, and we have not separated those people from their families. The people that we're talking about are the people who they get caught after climbing the fence or crossing the river.
Right, and because I get in this argument with my fiance all the time, and she says, well, you don't know what it's like. And I don't, but I believe that there's steps to go through to get things done right.
Right.
And if you get caught, well, I don't even think asylum should be an issue if you're caught.
But the Border Patrol officer must say to you, you know, it's just like you see these police shows where they arrest somebody. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say you can almost say it yourself by now. The Miranda warnings. This is kind of like a Miranda warning is, okay, we caught you. Now, would you like to apply for asylum? Are you in fear of being returned? Come on.
Mm.
All you got to do is say, yes. You got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. It's a farce. It is a farce to ask that question, I think. Because
I agree with you.
You make the point of if they really were serious about asylum, they would have come through a port of entry. They're not doing it.
Correct. Exactly.
So why do we do this?
I just wanted to. I don't know why people do anything anymore. But it's just something that I wanted to say and point out.
Yeah, well, it's a good point, and I'm glad you called, Tim. Thank you very much. Max, thank you for waiting. Welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To your point about putting economic pressure on Mexico, I honestly think that's part of the game plan, and I honestly think that part of President Trump's means to rebuild the manufacturing base in this country over time is to make a bigger claim on auto manufacturing. But I think he's doing it through Canada first, because we don't have the burden of these, you know, we don't have 40,000 people crossing the border every year or every month illegally coming from Canada.
Yeah.
So you don't have that dynamic to deal with. But I think honestly, once Trudeau folds like a cheap tent.
He has to.
On NAFTA, and he will.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think then, by then, hopefully Congress will have acted on legislation, because I know Senator Feinstein has something up, and I know Congressman Denham and a couple other guys are co-sponsoring something comprehensive. Something is going to happen maybe before the election. But if that does happen, then he's, that kind of frees the president's reins to make a national security argument about people crossing the border and put some serious economic screws to Mexico. I think the problem there too is I think Mexico is a lot more fragile than Canada also. So I am a little concerned about it, but I think it's the thing that we got to do.
See the story about the Canadian border up in Maine? They have set up, those DUI checkpoints they put up on highways every so often, which I think is unconstitutional.
Right.
But as much as I'm against drunk drivers, I think that is unconstitutional. The Border Patrol on Interstate 95, which is the one that runs from the tip of Florida to the tip of Maine, right up the East Coast, it's the main thoroughfare, they have set up
Maine to Miami.
Yeah, they have set up a checkpoint. And they pull over all these cars, and they ask you for your place of birth and your citizenship status. Well, people that are for open borders are going crazy. And it's true, the U.S. Supreme Court has affirmed that if you don't have any suspicion, people can remain silent. But I think if you remain silent, you're going to be hassled. You might as well tell them, look, this is where I'm from. Anyway, they're catching people coming in from Canada because they think nobody is keeping an eye on Canada. So, but the ACLU was out there having a fit, but they caught in two days,
of course,
five undocumented immigrant illegals from Brazil, China, Ecuador, El Salvador, and Mexico, as well as the seizure of drugs. They're coming in.
How many?
Five in 2 days. Uh-oh. Brazil, China, Ecuador, El Salvador, and Mexico. How did they get north of Maine and come in that way? I'm. They know if they go to Canada,
they can get in.
Well, you can. You can fly Air Canada. Air Canada flies into Mexico, flies into Cuba, flies into all kinds of Central American countries.
Why they would want to come here? Canada has an open door for everybody. Trudeau himself has said, "Everybody come here."
Yeah, but so they're now not lately. They're all of a sudden walking that back because they're getting a lot of people showing up, and they're going, "Oh my gosh, look at how many people are coming in." Let's see. Director of the ACLU of New Hampshire said 17 people were arrested Memorial Day weekend. 17. That was in New Hampshire. So I kind of like the fact that they're doing this. They are doing these highway checks up along our Canadian border. And the people they're catching are coming in from all over the world.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Wild. I mean, I don't blame them. If I knew that the border on the southern border was being watched carefully, I would probably catch an Air Canada flight and come back around that way as well. Anyway, I do appreciate the call very much. Phone number here is 855. Thank you, Max. 855-295-6600. When we come back, let's talk about the Red Hen, the restaurant, and Maxine Waters. And civility.